Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
All right, well, go ahead and we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 6 today. Specifically, we're going to be looking at one of the miracles that Jesus performed, the feeding of the 5,000. And I think a lot of times we get kind of lost in just that part of the event. But as we're going to see, there's so much more going on around that. Give you a little background. Earlier in Mark 6, actually just prior to Mark 6, Jesus is going around through the whole region speaking. And it says in chapter 6, verse 1, that he left this other area and he went to his hometown, which would be what? Nazareth. Okay, so he's in the northern part of the Sea of Galilee in Nazareth. And he's accompanied by his disciples. You know, there's the old story about everybody there saying, well, who is this? You know, this man performing all these great things and having all this wisdom. Isn't this one of ours? And it goes into the famous thing where he says, only in his hometown among his relatives and his own house is a prophet without honor. So this leads up to, in verse 7, Jesus, at the end of verse 6, beginning of verse 7, Jesus sends out the 12. So these are the 12 apostles. And it says that he sends out the 12 and he gives them authority over evil spirits. And specifically what he tells them to do, if you look through verses 8 through 11, let me just read that real quick. And these were his instructions. He says, take nothing for the journey except the staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Wherever you are, or whenever you enter a house, stay there until you have that town, or until you leave that town. And if in any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. So they went out and preached, and people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick. I think it's interesting. What was the number one thing listed that he did? They went out and they preached that people should repent. In addition, they drove out demons and anointed sick and healed people. And then right in the middle of this, there's an account about John the Baptist being beheaded. And it kind of goes through that whole story. We're not going to focus on that. And I'm not sure why Mark, the author, brought that in. And maybe I can only assume that that was what was happening at the time that this occurred. So the 12 are out. Jesus is back at his home, and he hears about John the Baptist. Word gets out to them. But what we're going to focus is starting in verse 30. And this is the apostles are now coming back. They've been out. They've been ministering. They're coming back now. And at our church, we had summer ministry teams that have been out to different places. They've been to different places in the country. We've had ministry teams that have gone out to foreign countries ministering over the summer. And if you've ever been a part of that or seen that, yeah, there's new experience, especially for young people. They're coming back and they're excited. Man, we did this, we did that. This happened. You know, they're just excited about it. And I think that's what's kind of going on here. And it says in verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. I think it's interesting. Not only did they preach repentance, and I don't think the idea was, you know, not like the guys, you know, the goofy guy standing on a corner with a big sandwich board that says repent, shouting at people with a megaphone. You know, if you've ever seen that, they were teaching. They were going into the scriptures, dealing with Jewish people, showing them from Scripture about repentance and about the coming Messiah. So here they are. And what we're going to look at today is discipleship. This is Christ was ministering directly to the apostles, teaching them how to minister and discipling them, training them. Just like you would train soldiers and prepare them before they go out on a mission, this is kind of what he was doing with the apostles. So he even sent them out, basically telling them, this is all you need, go out. And so what was he trying to teach them also was that God will provide and meet their needs as they go out and they minister. And it's interesting here that the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. And then in verse 31, then because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. So here they're at, I assume it's still at Jesus' house. So here's Jesus, unmarried, 30 years old, living with his mom, I guess in the basement, I don't know. They probably had more of a courtyard at that time. So in the back of the house or on the side of the house, there's this courtyard. There's probably like big poles, and they have like fabric stretched over it so they can have a table. But in the midst of this, the apostles are trying to speak to Jesus, relate all of this back to him. But there's people coming and going. So who are these people that are coming and going? Probably the people that all through the region, the apostles, they were doing what? They were teaching repentance and they were healing people. The same people, these crowds are probably still followed them back there. There's probably still a crowd there when Jesus was there. So there's all of this commotion going on, people coming and going. And probably all the morning, they're probably healing sick people. People are coming in. They're coming and going. And it gets to the point where they didn't even have a chance to eat. You know, they're hungry. It's lunchtime. So Christ sees this need that they're tired. They've been out. And they're still back, and they're still having to deal with these people. And he wants to get alone with them. So he says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. In other words, let's kind of move away from here, get away from the crowds. And notice that it's he realizes and he wants them to see that they need refreshment. A lot of times we will do vacation. We'll go away on vacation. I don't think this is a vacation. This isn't going to Disney World and fighting to get into a hotel, fighting to get into a line for refreshments, fighting to get a reservation to eat someplace, having to deal. That, to me, that's not a vacation. A lot of times we'll go away someplace and it's like you're so glad to get home. So it really wasn't much of a vacation. This is a time apart. This is a different purpose. And notice he says, come away with me. It's an invitation. He's not saying, hey, go away, go out on vacation. I know Glenn has told me in the past that he wouldn't take a vacation, and the board said, you need to go take a vacation. But you need to take the right kind of vacation. But that's not what this is about. This is about time with Christ. I think of weekends. We have probably, we think of the weekend as a time that I'm working all week. My focus is to get clock out at the end of the day on the last day of the week and have my weekend. This is different. This is the opposite. This is saying the weekend, the purpose of the weekend is to get ready for the next week of work so that you can be effective. In this case, like a ministry. The rest of that verse is just come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. So what we're looking at is this is Jesus. He's equipping his servants for ministry. Earlier he had sent them out. So this whole going on all through this part of the of Mark, he's teaching, he's equipping his servants for ministry. And I think what he was trying to demonstrate further when he sent them out and gave them, telling them what they had to take with them, it was a question of their abilities and equipment. So he provides the ability that you need to have in verses 30 through 32. What is that ability? Be able to preach repentance, to share the gospel, nothing more, nothing less. So they have that ability, and maybe prove it to them by going out with so little in 2x2. In the going on in beginning of 32, so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. So he says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they all get in the boat and they start to go look for a solitary place. But look what happens next in verse 33. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran out on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So here they are going in the boat, but everybody that was coming and going, trying to get to the apostles, trying to get to him for healing, for whatever else, all of a sudden they slip out the back. So where'd they go? So it's kind of like going down the interstate and you're chasing, you're following one of those, you see one of those tour buses for a group. Say, oh, let's get ahead of them and see where they're going. And so it was easy for them to see the boat offshore. And because it's going probably from further east and heading west towards the northern part of the shore, and most breezes come from west to east, they're kind of had a headwind, so they have to, in a sailboat, tack back and forth to get where they want to go against the wind. So they're probably looking out there, and it's very easy to see what they're doing. So here the crowd gets out ahead of them in verse 33. And they're on foot, and they're running. They're desperate. They don't want it to end. They don't want to let them go. Verse 34 continues, when Jesus landed, so here they pull the vessel in, and he saw the large crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So what does he do? He began teaching them many things. When he says, when Mark says that Christ had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd, he saw their need, and they had real needs. There were like ones wandering in the wilderness. Think of it as the wilderness of life, without direction, without purpose, without leadership, without answers. There's many people like that around us today, if we know where to look and if we take the time to look. There's people like that. They have, and it's becoming more and more in our age, people not turning to God, not wanting to trust in a higher source. And he doesn't have self-pity or irritation because they're being followed, but he has compassion. Their need, what is their need? Their need is Christ, and there he is. So I was kind of interested in that last part of 34, that last sentence. It says, so he began teaching them many things. And I read it over and over again thinking he was teaching the crowd, but maybe there's another meaning to that. Maybe it means he was teaching the apostles many things by his example. And that's in our outline. He's providing the example that we need to see. Or in this case, the apostles needed to see his example. Not to be upset with the crowd. We said we're going to go away. But he had compassion on the crowd. So he began teaching them many things. And also, here was an unplanned ministry opportunity. It was one of the things he wanted them to see. He was preparing them for ministry, remember. So he's teaching them what they need to know. And just like us today, he's still doing that through his word. So what does he want us to know? He wants us to see there's unplanned ministry opportunities. Look for opportunities to minister. Or if these opportunities arise, look to take advantage of those or to help. Let's look next what the apostles did in fact do. What was their opinion of this? So in that next section, verses 35 through 44, he instructs his servants for ministry. This is all part of his instruction. So he began teaching them, whether it was the crowd or the apostles. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. So here they started the day at Jesus' house with people coming and going. They try to remove themselves to someplace else. Remember, they didn't get a chance to eat lunch. That was probably out the window. So here they get here, and Christ says, let's keep ministering. These people are still coming and going. So they're ministering again to them. Late in the day, it wasn't just Christ. They weren't all just sitting around with their arms folded. They were continuing to do what they did when they went out. They were ministering, anointing the sick and healing them. So what is their response to this? They came to the Lord and they said, this is the remote place, they said, and it's already very late. I think it's interesting that they thought they had to remind him, hey, this is the, remember we were going to go to this remote place, just us 13, just us folks. So here now it's already late in the day. We never got to eat our lunch. So, here's their response. Can you send the people away so that they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat? Where are they going to go? How many people are involved here? Let's say at a minimum, 5,000. 5,000 people. Can you imagine going up to the Walmart, Super Walmart, Super Center? Yeah, you got 5,000 loaves of bread. Can you feed five? What's the other one? Subway. You look out and there's a line of 5,000 people there. 5,000 people. Even today, it's a staggering sum of people. It's like, the local baseball stadium emptying out and trying to feed them all at once. So, this is the apostles' idea. But Christ is trying to work with them. He's trying to plant the idea. He's trying to get them, and in our outline, we're looking at verses 35 through 38. He expects us or them to sense the need for ministry. He's trying to plant that idea. But often, in ministry, there's opposition. There's opposition from within and without. Here's a case, there's opposition from within. They're like, hey, here's our remote place. We didn't get to eat lunch yet, and it's already very late. Just, get rid of these folks so we can get on with our plan. We make excuses. We don't want to see the need. We don't want to get involved. We don't want to put ourselves out there, maybe. And Christ, he didn't accept any of those excuses. So here's the apostles, and they're kind of clueless. They just want to send the people away. They're missing the point completely that there's a opportunity for ministry. So they want to avoid the issue, wash their hands of the problem. What's the real problem? Is they don't care yet. Their hearts are hardened, maybe. Maybe they have a lack of faith. And Christ is trying to get them to take responsibility for the problem. So we move into the next verses 39 through 44. And this is his way of getting them to take responsibility. I love this when he says, send them into the, not, let us send them into the, they want Christ to send them away. You tell them, they don't want to have any part of it. So what does Christ do? This is, to me, brilliant. He says, but he answered, you give them something to eat. And they're like, what do you mean? 5,000 people? Us? How are we going to give them something to eat? They said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? So they're putting it right down into, human terms. And Christ says to them in verse 38, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." So someone goes, and when they find out, what do they say? They have five loaves. Now, he only asked about loaves, and I love this comment, and two fish. In my mind, that, you know, they had the leader of the apostles went to him, and then they go and find out, and they come back, and he says, five loaves. And I think it's the guy in the back, you know, the wiseacre. He's back there. Yeah, and two fish. You know, like it's going to make a difference. You know, real sarcastic comment. I can't stand people that make sarcasm. It's just the lowest form of humor there is. So he says, how many? He says, what do you? He says, yeah, five and two fish. Like, that's going to help, right? So then in verse 39, Jesus directs them. He says, have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. Green grass. You expecting green grass on the northern shores of Galilee in Egypt or in Israel? Just you think of it as all rocks and sand, but apparently it was an agricultural area and there was a place to do that. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Why would they sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties? Well, maybe it's easier to distribute the food, but also it was probably easier to get a count. They wanted to know that there was 5,000. So taking the loaves and the two fish, got to include those two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish. It's almost like sarcastically they talked about the two fish. So he says, okay, I'm going to include your two fish and I'm going to show you. Not just five loaves of bread. He made a point about dividing the two fish amongst them all. So what happens in verse 42? They all ate and were satisfied. 5,000 people at a minimum. And then what happens with the disciples? In verse 43, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. What they failed to do, they failed to look at the one source. They said, all we have is five loaves and two fish. They failed to see that they overlooked Christ. He took something from nothing, in effect, and gave the loaves to the disciple to distribute. You know, that's great. He didn't do it himself. They were kind of, you know, not involved. They didn't want to be involved. They had to be grudgingly pulled along, it seemed. And yet they got the blessing. They got to distribute the food. And what happens if people, they couldn't eat anymore? There was leftovers. Not only did Christ supply, but it was abundant. It was sufficient. It met the need. And here are the apostles walking away with the basketfuls of food. You know, there was what, 13 of them. Initially, they thought they would go over here. They had five loaves and two fishes. It's going to be a kind of meager lunch they were going to have. What do they have now? They have baskets full of food. You know, they had a full stomach and they were useful to God. I think of any time I've ever gotten involved in a ministry, when you go to minister to someone else, how many times you're, oh, I went to visit so-and-so in the hospital or in her house, she can't get out, or this. And you come away with the blessing instead of trying to be ministering to them. So here is the apostles, instead of being ministering to others, they were also you know, they were full, and they were also useful to God. So what happened at the end of this? They were refreshed. You know, this was better than a vacation. They had a practical lesson in ministry and probably went back, and better than anything else they could have done that day amongst themselves, just being, they were refreshed. So to wrap up, you know, do you have to You have to have the faith to believe that Jesus has equipped you. Well, I'm not that big of a speaker. I don't know that much scripture. If you know enough scripture to be saved, you know enough to share the gospel with somebody else. Or do you say something like, you know, Christ didn't equip me properly. He didn't give me this or he didn't give me that. You know, are you really willing to state that? You know, can you hear that just echoing across heaven and what people up there would say to you if they heard you say that? Not let alone what Christ would say to you. You are prepared for ministry. We all have what we need to minister. We just have to have the want to. The thing is, we need to do our part. And just remember, nobody has to do everything, but everybody should be willing to do something. So let's keep that in our minds and our focus, especially as we go to different rallies, we go to different events, where we know of people that we can minister to. Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.